You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks.
You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, brought to you by Hutton Broadcasting. New Mexico Filmworks is a program of the New Mexico Film Office, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris. Later, we'll be speaking to Katie Dothit in the studio about her workshop on makeup techniques. But first, continuing my series on New Mexico webisodes, I have Gabrielle Vigil and James Perkins on the phone, and they're the makers of Extra Galactic Black, which is a cowboy space parody web series. And Gabrielle is a 2011 graduate of ENMU Portales with a degree in digital cinema arts. She has a strong passion for writing and directing and uses that now to pursue a web series, Extra Galactic Black. She acts as director, camera operator, editor, and co-writer with other members of the group. And with her is James Perkins. He's a 2012 graduate of ENMU with a degree in digital filmmaking. James' passion for film carries into all areas, though he's exceptionally passionate toward camera work and directing. In Extra Galactic Black, James acts as Captain Black's secondhand man, Raj, in front of the camera and behind as EGB's special effects creator, director, co-writer, and set designer. So welcome to you both.
Hi, how are you doing, Dirk?
Hello.
I'm doing great. And I'm really happy to have you guys on the show today. James, why don't you give us just a little bit of your background?
My background, I graduated from high school in 2006. I had this crazy notion that I was going to go on and make movies. So I moved around the state, did a lot of industry shoots and stuff right here where I could get on. I went to Mexico State for a while, and then I moved to the branch college in Amagordo, where I learned a lot there from actually getting hands-on. And once I graduated from there, I decided to come up to Eastern and give it a shot. And I've been here for about 3 years now, and I've had a great experience.
The everyman of New Mexico. So, Gabrielle, how about you?
Well,
what's your name?
I'm Gabrielle.
It's Gabrielle.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gabrielle.
All right, we're just letting you know now.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I was raised in Española and Los Alamos, New Mexico. Graduated there and came to Eastern right away. Kind of found out late in life that I wanted to do film. And been pursuing it ever since. Not as much experience as James here, but I've kind of done a little bit.
Right. And ENMU Portales is one of the many schools in the state that offer a film program. Can you tell us briefly what that program is like in Portales?
If it wasn't for the students, and it wasn't for the drive and the passion of the students by themselves, it'd be a little, flaky. It's doing good. It's getting better. It's still a young program.
Mm-hmm.
A program that has just potential right there, ready just to be released into the world. I mean, we have students here from all over the world that come as filmmakers. We work with a guy in a lot of films. He's from Nepal. He came over here to go to school. And so there's just a lot of great people here, a lot of potential just ready to get out there and do something. And as the program progresses, so do the students. So each year, each semester even, it's getting better and better and better.
That's good to hear. And Portales has a kind of an emphasis in broadcast, don't they?
Yes, they do. And we have the KNNW station, and we work with them a lot. I'm friends with the people that help run the show over there. And, they've done a lot of things for us that maybe we have equipment checked out that we need, and they say, we have spare equipment. So they really go above and beyond to help us, reach our goal as well.
Terrific. And I also know the program down in Roswell at ENMU Roswell is going quite well. And
the Roswell program, we worked with them about 2 months ago, and we were pretty blown away by how well they're actually doing and how much hands-on there is with all of the students.
Yeah, that's one of the FTTP programs that they have running down there. And the students get a lot of great hands-on stuff. I think at the end of the course, they end up making a movie with the group.
Yeah, they do. And they get on industry shoots or union shoots, anything they can get on. And And Alan Trevor goes out of his way to make sure that these students really get a first-class education for, you know, Roswell. And it's, you know, I've done a lot of research for years on which film school to go to, but yet I've seen Roswell actually do more than even some of the high-grade film schools.
Right, right, and there's a lot of support for it. And Gabrielle, I know you had mentioned earlier about the kind of difficulty of once you graduate, then what do you do? I mean, people aren't running to knock on your door or anything.
Oh yeah, and you know, for most of us, it's just, you know, it'd be nice to have any job just to be able to move on. And but I enjoy working in film, so I'd like to keep doing that, but I'm at the point where nobody wants to hire me because we're too qualified with a film degree.
Explain that. What do you mean, too qualified?
I have applied at every place that is in town, and not even McDonald's will take me. They say I'm overqualified.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. Well, maybe not.
Or doesn't want us.
Walmart won't take me. Nobody will.
Wow. Well, I think you're on the right track by creating this webisode and at least getting some of your work out there. So let's talk a little bit about Extragalactic Black. And first, tell me how you came up with the title of it.
Actually, this is Will's area. We were sitting in class one day, and this was my last semester. And I had a few ideas under my belt and nothing really going on. Super big upstairs. So I said, okay, well, I have a few ideas. And then we were having a pitch, like we do at the beginning of every semester, on which projects we're going to work on, what projects we're going to shoot. And I pitched my projects, and everybody's like, okay, that sounds good. And then Will walked up, and as soon as he said, I have an idea for a show called Extragalactic Black. And right then I was hooked. I was like, I don't know what this is, but this sounds great.
Yeah, right. I love the title.
Just right then I was like, okay, you got me. And I'm friends with Will. I've worked with him on many shoots before. I always snag him as my actor, and he's a wonderful actor. Fresh, he can do so many different characters. He's just really moving up with his acting career. And so I said, all right, well, okay. And so he pitched the idea to me, and I dropped everything I was doing and said, we're doing this.
And
Will's a great actor. He's a great writer. He's a great creationist. He says, okay, but I'm lacking in the certain things with the technical aspect or the camera aspect. He says, I need your help. I need your guys' help to do this. And I said, you have us.
And he plays the lead role, Captain Black, right?
Will is Captain Black, and right. He does a fantastic job. And we've had a few complaints that say, well, you can tell that Will's acting. And I was like, yeah, but Will's a great actor, but he's playing a comedy of himself that he wrote based around us hanging out, you know. And so I said, you got to look past that and see that it's supposed to be funny and it's supposed to be stupid. The acting is supposed to be bad. And so I tell people, I was like, it's purposeful. When we stare at the camera and break the fourth wall,
right.
We're doing that on purpose.
You right. know? So, yeah. Which gives
and,
you a lot of flexibilities.
Yeah. And that's the wonderful thing about this show is we'll sit down and we probably have close to 3,000 episodes that we just have written down on a board that we talk about, because with this show, the great thing about it that I love so much is that it can go any direction. And it can go any direction, and it can go, you know, it can go this one direction for one episode and then completely do a 180 and go the entire direction for a next episode, and it makes sense. You know, we're unlimited. We're in extragalactic space. You know, things are out there that we don't know are out there. We've had a few people come to us and say, well, that doesn't exist. Well, that doesn't exist. And we'll tell them, well, are you an expert in extragalactic space? You know, have you been there? And,
yeah.
Well, no. And we're like, yeah, enjoy the show for what it is. You know, I was like, you know, do you think that Captain Kirk really fought the lizard men on this planet? And some of them will argue with it and say, well, yeah. You know, and we're, so.
They will argue with us.
And,
we get a lot of comparisons towards Star Trek and Star Wars.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying, oh, well, it's a lot like Serenity. And I said, well, in a sense, I'm like, but we actually push the limit. We said, we are cowboys. We dress like cowboys. And, you know, when Will first concepted the idea, he says, well, I want us to be pirates because we're space pirates and we have a space boat. We don't call them ships. They're space boats.
Uh-huh.
And So that makes sense, being as, you know, the galaxies are the high seas, and we have a ship, and we're a ram-jam crew, so I understand that. He says, but I want us to dress like cowboys. And I was like, well, let's be outlaws. We'll just be space cowboy outlaws that have a space boat. We're like pirates. And Will explains it great when he says, he's like, you know, we're space pirates, but we dress like cowboys and cuss like sailors, so it's really confusing. Just go with it.
Well,
and it's great.
Yeah, being equated to Serenity is not a bad thing. That was such a popular show and had a
wonderful
show. Following.
And so we're not offended by that. We're not offended when anybody compares us to any space show because
we're a parody of everything.
We homage on different things. We had a few people that finally caught on in episode 3 because we have one hallway, just like every other space show has. But our hallway is so unique because we have a tentacle monster and a Coke machine for our space juice in the hallway, and we, throughout our entire conversation, we just keep using the same hallway, and the tentacle comes out every time, and a few Star Trek fans actually contacted us, and they said that was great, because everybody knows that Kirk is only walking through one hallway.
Yeah, right.
You have to use your imagination, and they're like, you guys went out of your way to say, hey, we have one hallway in this ship. And so, stuff like that, you know, we're it's a homage to the shows, it's a homage to the good space retroism, a lot of different things. And what excites me the most about Buddy GB is that we have a great crew.
Let me stop you right there. We got to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute. And this is really terrific. So you're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be right back. We're back, and you're listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. My guests are Gabrielle Vigil and James Perkins, and they're from Patalis and have created the webisode Extra Galactic Black. And welcome back, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
So you were just talking, James, about the issue of marketing and kind of getting making people aware that you have the webisode out there. And how are you going about doing that?
Right now we have our Facebook, YouTube, and that is our portal right now. A lot of stuff. We've been doing a lot of festivals, like little fairs and stuff that are in town.
Yeah, like Portales fairs. They're not like...
No, they're not. They're not. They're not film festivals. But I'm talking about actual, you know, set up a booth and stuff like that.
Right, tourists come and everything. Were you guys at the recent Roswell shootout?
No, it coincided with the festival that they had set up for us here, so we weren't able to make it. Alan was let down. We were let down, but you know.
Yeah, they really wanted us to go.
We were like trying to get there, and we said, well, we just, you know, that happened.
You show up in costume and everything would have been great.
Yeah, we showed up in costume here, and, you know, Patalis isn't, you know, any kind of metropolitan area that's booming with artists and stuff like that. But we had a lot of great feedback, and we had the show set up in the reel, and we had costumes. And
I noticed,
right now,
too, that you have T-shirts and coffee mugs and the whole bit.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
We are in our fundraising stage. Our Kickstarter page is going up next week. Episode 4 and 5 are coming up this weekend. And, see, we've had so many problems with EGB due to the fact that, you know, we all have our, you know, mismangled equipment that we're trying to work with.
We've had cameras break.
Had tripods break, you know, and...
We're currently cameraless.
Yeah, we're currently cameraless. So we're doing fundraisers to try and get new equipment to keep the show running.
We've done a lot of community service.
Yeah, we've been doing community service,
And you got? Do you have a Kickstarter? Are you doing Kickstarter?
Kickstarter is going up next week. We just got approved this week, and it's hitting the ground next week.
Well, I tell you, that's been a really fabulous avenue for people to pursue,
and
it can really work out well.
And that's our thing is, you know, it's been really hard reach. We've reached a lot more people than we expected to, and we're like, okay, well, we only have our friends on Facebook, and our friends are kind of obligated to like it. So we're like, well, maybe, you know, we've had the ups and downs. Maybe the show's not that good. Maybe we're not doing this great. Maybe we've been running into people at Walmart, actually. People will come up to us And we have our friend Jeremy, and he plays Captain White in the show. And people have come up to him. People have come up to me at the car wash, and I have a vinyl sticker on the back of my truck. And they'll sit there and talk to me. They say, I watched that show. How do you know that show? And I'm incognito. I have my glasses on, and I'm nerded out, and I have, you know, I'm shaved. And so people will sit there and talk to me about 15, 20 minutes about the show. And then it dawns on them that they're talking to Raj. And then they get really excited. And it excites me because I'm like, wow, I'm actually being approached by somebody I've never met who's seen the show. And so then we sit there and we talk about it. And, you know, this show might actually be decent and people might actually find it funny.
And you're more than happy to sign autographs.
More than happy to sign autographs. I go around and, you know, we self-promote everything we do. So if you run into somebody and like we'll go to McDonald's. And anytime we go to another town, we take stuff with us, and we go to McDonald's at the line, and we get stuck waiting there, and I'll, you know, say, hey, you know, you guys need to have an extra galactic black button. And they just stare at me like, what is that? It sounds like, you know, some kind of disease.
But, well, that's taking that proactive step, I think, is really important. It's really cool that you're doing it. It really gets, you know, word of mouth is a wonderful way of getting the word out.
Oh yeah, our strongest audience right now is Portales, and you know the area. Most of our fans are in New Mexico.
Yes.
And it's pretty awesome because a lot of people in the town support us, and we have so many people just coming out and telling us keep going, and that's great to hear.
Yeah, and that's like I said, our strong crew. We have Katie Swineford, and she's an ex-Navy girl who decided to make movies now, and so she's getting into the game. She's a huge asset. We have Kit Horn, and he came on board, and we were like, okay, well, let's see what he can do. And he's totally been there every step of the way, just working and sweating and making sure that this is going to get done.
Excellent.
And you know, the set, we're excited about the set because we're like, it actually looks great. And the set cost us about maybe $60.
Yeah, our whole working budget for the entire first three episodes was $300, and we have a full-on spaceship. Not many people can say that after putting $300 into, you know.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's in somebody's garage, is it?
Yeah, that's in our friend Brittley. She has a garage, and it was empty. And she came over and said, "Well, I have a garage. If you guys need some space," and we said, "Okay." And it's a really bad garage. We had to rewire it because all the wires blew, and we turned on our lights, and we had people from. Everything in that you see on the set, everything except the green screen sheetrock is recycled material.
Yeah, we salvaged a whole lot of wood from a building that they tore down on campus.
All right.
And they tore down the building, and we just took all the 2x4s. They let us have all of them, and just we built everything from it.
Excellent resource. And, you know, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs both started out in garages, too, so there's no reason, you know, great films can't do the same thing.
So.
Gabrielle, so are you, you write the episodes?
Well, actually, it's a giant collaboration. Every episode involves all of us. We're all co-writers, and it's very interesting because, like, we start off with Will, and he does the basic episode and adds the comedy aspect, and then I will go through and correct and add character mm-hmm. and all sorts of stuff, and then James will come in and add an action. So it's very interesting the way we work.
It's interesting for me. I've never attempted comedy. And so I'm getting over that hump there of like, oh, is this good?
I don't think any of us have attempted comedy. Will
is very comic-based. He's very funny.
Comedy is hard. It's hard to pull off comedy well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've been getting over that hump saying, well, I think this is funny. And then Will's like, well, I think this is funny. And then we have a Captain White, and that's the guy in the orange jumpsuit on the show. And there's a huge build-up coming because he becomes Captain Black's nemesis. And there's a huge build-up there to this long-running just conglomeration of them becoming each other's nemesis, and it's going to be good. But Jeremy's been writing episodes, just little bits here and there, and he's a walking thesaurus. And they're great. And so we have him write a piece, and then I say, oh, I can stick this on episode 8, and I can do this with episode 6. And then, you know, that's the wonderful thing about shooting with our crew is the collaboration is just mind-blowing.
Anybody can do anything they want on the project.
If
they
want to
try camera, they can.
And yeah, and to us, that's what film is. You know, you go from the director and the producers, and it's great to have them there. They're the vision, they're the drive, but you can't forget everybody. You even give crafty guy that screws up your lunch order a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Because he's necessary. You need that guy there. And that's how it is with our crew. I mean, there's only three or four of us that are actually crew.
James, we're just about out of time. Tell everybody where they can find Extra Galactic Black.
We have a website. It is extragalacticblack.com. We have a Facebook page under Extra Galactic Black. Please like our Facebook page. The more likes we get, you know, the better it looks, and the more the word's getting out there, and that's what we're trying to do here, just get the word out.
You can look us up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Type in Extra Galactic Black.
We have a YouTube page. Yeah, look us up on Google. We're the first thing that pops up.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you guys being on, and good luck to with you in the episode.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
We're back. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and this is New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. By going to santafe.com and clicking on the live stream link. You can also hear this and previous shows on podcasts by going to santafe.com and clicking on the podcast link and looking for Talk 1260 KTRC. Well, in the studio today, I have makeup artist Katie Dothit. She is conducting an advanced makeup techniques workshop on July 14th and 15th here in Santa Fe. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you very much, Dirk.
So first tell us what the PetPub program is, and I'm popping my peas, but so what is this program?
It is the pre-employment training program, and it is designed to train New Mexico residents in the film industry, and basically our hope is to get better jobs for New Mexicans and compete with people from other states.
And this is this program is one of several that's also an incentive for the film industry, right? They get reimbursed for the cost of the workshop. Is that how it works?
That's correct. The state film office will reimburse the costs of the class, therefore making it a really great deal for our local makeup artists to get further training and therefore be able to compete.
And you have done a number of these in the past.
Yes, I have. In fact, I did the very first one in 2002.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that was quite the challenge because it was new to everybody, and the Department of Labor had the purse strings on that one.
All right. And you had to work out the bugs. And
oh, big time, yeah. And actually, through as a result of that, also the community college started a program as well, film training, which I also teach a regular class there.
And that's at Santa Fe Community College.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. In makeup?
Correct. I teach a beginning makeup class. It'll be in the fall, and you can go to the community college to check that one out. And however, then we do special classes now and again. I think it's been about 3 years since I've done one. But this one coming up, as you said, on the 14th and 15th is a very exciting class. It's an advanced makeup class. Therefore, people need to have already some training in film and some experience in the film industry or in makeup. So we are bringing in somebody from actually Tennessee is where he's coming from, who founded a company called Third Degree, mm-hmm. which revolutionized the special effects makeup industry a few years ago. I think maybe about, 8 years ago, I'm going to say. It's a silicone compound that we can mix very quickly and do any kind of special effects such as cuts, bullet wounds, scars, things like that, that allow us to, within, like, say, 15 minutes, do a bullet wound, for instance. So it's a very wonderful thing, and it's used widely in film today and television.
I've seen last couple of movies I've seen made by New Mexicans, and the makeup is just incredible with the wounds and zombies are certainly popular now too, and the kids at the digital arts charter school in Albuquerque have been doing a lot of makeup stuff, and it just looks wonderful. I mean, it's It looks very natural.
Yes, and that's probably most likely, like I say, third degree. So we're bringing the founder, Matt Singer is his name, for our class. And then we also, the first day, we're having Isabel Harkins, who's a very longtime makeup artist worldwide, New York, Europe, LA, and now New Mexico, teaching that portion. And we're also excitingly being sponsored by MAC Cosmetics, as well as our local makeup supply, oddly named Costumes. Costumes and Makeup, I want them to change the name too.
Yeah, right.
And so we have an exciting class. It's a two-day, 8-hour class. And because it's being sponsored by PETPA, it is only going to cost the students $65 for both days.
Wonderful.
So this would be normally a class that would probably be around $300 a day, just to give you an idea of what a great deal it is for local people to take advantage of.
Great opportunity. And anybody can join this workshop as long as they have some previous experience or training.
Yeah, basically the parameters are you have to be 18 years or older, mm-hmm. New Mexico resident. You have to have some prior makeup training, et cetera, and preferably experience in the film industry. But mm-hmm. quite a few of my students from the community college will take it, and their experience is mostly limited to my class and maybe a few little films like student films, things like that.
Right, right. And I assume you'll take TV people too.
Oh, definitely, yes. Film and TV, it's just all together. And video, it's all the same now, really. The word film is kind of a loosely used.
Yeah, you know, we have to come up with a whole new terminology because film is kind of legacy and it's all digital. And
exactly.
Yeah, we're just going to have to come up with new words for all this stuff.
Yeah, it's a very antiquated use of the word, which you're very correct. It's media is what we should use now, yeah. I guess, because there are so many different ways to say it.
Right. And you do a lot of work with IATSE. You're a member of IATSE, but people for the class, they don't have to be IATSE or union members.
That's correct. It is certainly open to all IATSE members who are interested in makeup. However, they do not need to be an IATSE. Again, they just need to be a New Mexico resident, and over 18 is the main criteria, according to the film office, who sets the criteria for the classes.
Right. And where can people get more information and sign up?
They can go to my or email me, Katie Douthit, at kdmakeup@aol.com. Or phone me at area code 505-690-0619.
And we also have that information up on our website, nmfilm.com. And if you go to the bulletin board and then click on the link for workshops, you'll find that listed there as well. And give us the names of the instructors again.
Isabel Harkins will be doing the first day, and Matt Singer of third degree will be doing the second day. So the first day Saturday, the second day Sunday, again, July 14th and 15th, 2009, coming up real soon. You also will be needing to send a check or money order for the $65 prior. We said July 6th would be the last day to send in your check to reserve your space. And we're already over, about half full. So get in those requests right away. Call me, email me to save your space.
Wonderful. Let me just ask you, you have done a lot of work yourself on a lot of films. Any favorites?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there's been a lot. Thor was very fun. Cowboys and Aliens was a really mm-hmm. fun one. Just recently, I worked on a pilot that's going to be called Vegas, mm-hmm. Which was a great time. That will be coming out.
Dennis Quaid.
Correct.
Yeah.
Dennis Quaid. That'll be coming out on CBS this fall. There's been way too many to mention, but many large and small productions I've worked on since 1990 here in New Mexico.
What makes it fun?
Well, the work itself is always the best part. Mm-hmm. I love doing what I do. I love doing makeup. I love doing special effects. I love doing beauty. I love it all. The people, the camaraderie, it's a big family. Not always happy. It's kind of like your typical family. It can be happy. It can be not so happy. But I try to make it fun. I think at this point, life is too short to be unhappy. So I pretty much just try to make it happy and fun, whatever I do.
Have you seen changes? I mean, I'm sure there's the technological advances and the new materials and that sort of thing. Has that been the major change, or are there other changes that have happened over the years?
The technological changes, yeah, in makeup itself, specifically since I started in this business actually in 1984, have been huge. It's so much easier, again, with the invention of third degree and alcohol-based makeups and different things like that. The downside, though, and the change in the actual industry is it's much more money-driven than creatively-driven, which is a downside, unfortunately. We're pretty much all feeling that. It's all about the bottom line. Where I first started, it was more about the actual creativity.
Right. And that must be kind of sad to see it change that way.
Yeah, disappointing would be the word, yeah, I would use. Of course, there's many, many very creative, really good productions being done. A lot of those, of course, are being done with special effects, as in computerized special effects, which, of course, I'm not involved in. Mm-hmm. So that process is a whole separate thing that's done in post-production. Mm-hmm. However, again, the film industry is changing big time for good and for bad. The good news is more people can make their own productions and put them on the web now. So in that way, it's easier and cheaper than ever. But in the actual film industry, we have the huge mega budgets like The Lone Ranger, and then we have teeny tiny little budgets like I just worked on a very small budget called Codename Geronimo.
Right. My previous guests were from Extragalactic Black, a new webisode that these guys have started up in Portales with a budget of $300. So, their webisodes look really terrific. So, Katie, I really appreciate you coming in and talking about this workshop. Again, it's $65, 18 or over. Give us your phone number one more time.
505-690-0619 and kdmakeup@aol.com. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC, and we'll be right back with John Armijo.
Pointed whispers follow. Pointing at my chains, they see. But I keep wrestling all I can. I keep wrestling.
This is New Mexico Film Works, and we have John Armijo on the line with us. He's talking about some of the current productions going on in New Mexico. Hey, John.
Howdy doody.
How are ya?
Good.
Good. So what do you got for us?
Well, let's continue where I left off last week with unreleased films. But first, here's a big shout-out to Michael Delheim for correcting the locations used in Game Change. And he should know, because he was the location manager on the HBO movie. Besides Garson Studios, they also filmed in Abiquiu and at Nambe Pueblo and at La Masita Ranch in the Nambe Valley. And they shot here in Santa Fe at a private residence that doubles for John McCain's Sedona House. And they shot downtown at Cathedral Park. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
Last summer, The Boys of Abu Ghraib filmed in Santa Fe at the old main prison set and over on Canyon Road at the Francis Xavier Elementary School. Also filming last summer was As Cool as I Am, starring Claire Danes, James Marsden, Peter Fonda, Alanis Morissette, and get this, Mario Batali. Yeah, the chef. Think the caterer on the film was a little nervous? Filming took place in Albuquerque, Belen, and Santa Fe. The comedy Goats had its premiere at Sundance this year, but has yet to be released theatrically. Filming was done last fall in Albuquerque. Turi Productions, based in Albuquerque, produced The Bigfoot Election last year. The comedy shot in Angel Fire, and it won the 2011 Albuquerque Film Festival's Best New Mexico Feature Award. It was also an official 2011 selection of the Hollywood Film Festival, and it was a semi-finalist at the 2011 Chicago Comedy Festival. Last year, Sandia Productions, also based in Albuquerque, produced the action drama Blaze You Out. Filming took place all over Rio Arriba County. The film was directed and written by local filmmakers Mateo Fraser and Diego Joaquin Lopez. A Bird of the Air was produced in 2009 and made its TV premiere on Cinemax in Hungary earlier this month, and it's now available on DVD. It stars Rachel Nichols, Jackson Hurst, and Jeanette Comer, Buck Hendry, and Gary Farmer. Early this year, a Robert Redford film called The Company You Keep had a one-day shoot here in Santa Fe. They also did post-production work here as well. The scene they shot was with actor Terrence Howard, and the location was at the Department of Motor Vehicles office over in the Valdez Industrial Park. The indie comedy Roswell FM is scheduled for release sometime in October of this year. They filmed in Artesia, Roswell, and around Chavez County. The film was written by New Mexico native David Spence and produced by award-winning playwright Mark Medoff, winner of the 1986 Tony for the Broadway hit Children of a Lesser God. Another Medoff play, When You Coming Back, Red Rider, was named one of the top 10 plays of the 1973-74 New York season. And in 1979, he adapted the play for the silver screen, starring Marjo Gortner, Lee Grant, Hal Linden, Cindy Clark, and Pat Hingle. Medoff shot the film in Las Cruces, where, by the way, he is Professor Emeritus at New Mexico State University. The horror film Biomass, which is all about zombies, is hovering out there somewhere looking for life. This is Anthony Riazzi's first stab at directing. If the name sounds familiar, it's because Mr. Riazzi was a digital and visual effects guru for X-Men, The Last Stand, and he was a technical director for The Matrix Revolution. Filming took place in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. Another horror film, The Banshee Chapter, shot last year in Albuquerque, Socorro, and Tijeras. The film is based on real CIA secret programs, and it's produced by the company that made their film debut with a critically acclaimed film, Margin Call, starring Kevin Spacey. A feature-length documentary called Blue Alchemy, Stories of Indigo, spans four continents. It's about indigo, a blue dye that has captured the human imagination for millennia. This was released last July, so watch for it. Filming took place in Corrales. Another documentary produced by Mark Mathis called Spoiled is bringing controversy wherever he can screen it. His comments about the doc appeared in the June 20th edition of the Albuquerque Journal's op-ed section. It's all about what people are being told about our energy needs by the Environmental Protection Agency. Spoiled was shot in Albuquerque, Artesia, Carlsbad, and Hobbs. The sci-fi thriller The Host, starring Saoirse Ronan, Diana Kruger, and William Hurt, shot scenes in Albuquerque, Farmington, and Shiprock. Okay, Dirk, it's time to grab the stirrups.
Okay, bring it on, John.
The Cisco Kid TV series went on the air in 1949. In 1955, it was voted the most popular TV show on the tube for children. It starred Duncan Rinaldo as the Cisco Kid and Leo Carrillo as his sidekick, Pancho. I remember the intro like it was yesterday. Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the Old West, the Cisco Kid. Dirk, when Pancho called his horse, what did he call him?
Come here.
He said, hey, loco,
loco.
Giddy up.
Well, thank you for that, John. Hey, and you mentioned Blue Alchemy. Actually, they showed it at the screen last month, and it's just a wonderful movie.
Oh, great. Yeah, it was a fundraiser, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And, they go all over the world following people making indigo dye. It's great.
Crazy, man.
Yeah. Okay, John, thank you very much.
You betcha. Take care.
All righty. And we have mentioned film tourism a little bit over previous shows, and so I want to bring this to your attention. The guys down in Albuquerque that run the Albuquerque Trolley have a tour coming up called the Bad Tour. It's Sunday, July 15th. That's the same date as the season premiere of Breaking Bad, and this is a tour of the Breaking Bad sites. The boarding point is at 3rd and Harris Northwest. That's the convention center loading zone downtown Albuquerque. From 4 to 7:30 with a private viewing party of the Season 5 opener and dinner at JC's New York Pizza Department. That's the Back Alley Brew Pub immediately following. Featuring the following Breaking Bad locations: Walt's house, Jesse's house, the car wash, the laundry, Saul's law office, Tuco's Hideout, The Rail Yards, The Crossroads Motel, Los Polos Hermanos, and more. They're expecting to sell out those tickets soon, and they'll be $60. That includes a 3.5-hour tour, dinner, and private viewing party, including tax. They're going to go on sale at midnight on July 1st, and you can get them at abqtrolley.com. That's abqtrolley.com. Those tickets are going to go really fast, so check it out at midnight on July 1st. And these guys have said this tour is just really popular, it's going to be have a good time. So check it out. You've been listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks.
High heels and perfume, bulletproof vest. Love moves past curfew, insist upon incest. Confusion reigns like blackberry gum. Blood stains like